This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Humble and Hungry. I'm your friend, Natalie Pouchet, coming to you hot from my bed because I am sick as a dog. The episode was already going to be late as it is, but then we got home from our little camping trip, which I will tell you about, and Piper got a little sick towards the end, and then she totally gave it to me, and now I am just looking at a nightstand that is covered in medications and teas and water and all the things. But I'm going to try to do a little quick recap for you guys. I know it's a big week because it is 2 weeks out from the IUI insemination procedure, whatever you want to call it. So here we go. A few days ago, we went to, where did we go? We flew into Idaho, and then we drove to Oregon because that is where Riley's dad lives. He lives in a little city called Baker and, a little town called Baker. And we stayed at his dad's house for the first night and saw some family, which was really fun. And, the next day we sort of just like packed up all of our stuff. We went into, there's a Whole Foods right there. So we went and loaded up everything for camping. Mind you, I really have never, I mean, maybe I have a really bad memory. I'm sure I've camped like once or something before, but you know, growing up, I was talking to Riley about this. We didn't grow up camping. We didn't grow up, you know, doing these outdoorsy type of things. I was raised, you know, in a desert in Las Vegas for 14 years of my life, and then came to California and then sort of stayed here ever since. But we were just not really like outdoorsy people.
So yeah, I was raised really just, you know, in a desert, and I was there for 14 years in Las Vegas. And so we just weren't used to ever really, you know, doing outdoorsy campy type thing. That just was not our family. And so going and doing this trip, I thought was really a part of me. Honestly, I just didn't want to go. I think just with this whole IUI thing, I was very emotional. I would say emotional, but more maybe hormonal. I think it was the progesterone that really is just like thrown me off. And so I was just not really feeling up to going camping and really just, you know, not that I'm against being one with nature. I think it's great and all, but you know, having to like sit in a camper and shit in a camper and, you know, pee in the woods and like not get good sleep. I'm a light sleeper. Like a girl can hear a bird or a coyote or whatever, like miles away. Okay. I should have been an animal. My ears are insane. And so I am such a light sleeper. And on top of that, I didn't know what the sleeping arrangement was going to be. I didn't know what the hell camping entailed. Like, I don't know. Do I bring card games? Am I bringing sweatpants? Am I bringing workout clothes? Am I like, what are we doing? How, what, do I bring food? Do I bring plates? Like, I don't know. I just, and maybe that's part of like my control freak situation, but I just sort of had to let it go on this one. Because yeah, I almost didn't go on the trip because I was like, you know, maybe you and Piper just go. And I was like, no, I'll get FOMO and I'll want to be there and be with them. So anyway, flew into Idaho and then from Idaho to Oregon. Flight was easy. Had a stop in Sacramento and Piper was great. You know, as long as she has snacks and her iPad, the girl is golden. So we get to his dad's house, have a nice dinner. And then the next day we pack up the trucks and we head up the mountain, which is about 40 minutes from where his dad lives. And it's hunting season again, you know, not something I was raised with or, and around, but Riley was for years, you know. That's, I think he like shot his first elk or something when he was like 10 or 9, but like shot something else when he was like 7 or 6, like it, like, you know, at a super young age. But this is just what you do, and I've been learning so much with this family, and it's honestly fascinating. But him and I just came from such different worlds, and it's interesting because he's so different now. And I think a part of it for him was like, he knew that he wanted to get out of that world, appreciates where he came from, but he didn't want to, that wasn't the end all be all for him. But I think now having Piper and going back, he really appreciates, you know, his upbringing and loves that Piper can also, you know, see and peek into that world as well. So it's hunting season. Everyone has tags. You basically get tags. You have to like bid for them. And for those of you that know this already, I'm sorry. Let me just tell the people that don't, because I was one of those. So they have different tags for different, like for different parts of like the hunting season. So some are for rifles, some are for like, bows and like to kill the animals. Some are, for, just like different ways of basically hunting. Okay. And then you have one for, elk, one for deer, one for all these other things. Because there are obviously different animals in the forest. I don't know how basic I need to go here. Okay. But, so everyone had a tag. And, you know, it's funny. I guess I ask so many fucking questions. They're like, Natalie, shut the fuck up. They don't. I think they actually enjoy speaking about it because they already know the information. So I think maybe having someone who doesn't understand that world and asking it, like, you know, it makes them have to talk about it and explain things. And I wonder where Piper gets her from. Why? So I was, asking them about, when we went, it was like bows. And they were like, oh yeah, it's like a bow and arrow kind of thing. And I'm thinking like old school, which I found out there is a season for old school bow and arrows. The ones that they have now are like way more high tech and they have like all these gadgets and all these, you know, ways of being able to detect the animal and see it and how to shoot, whatever. So I asked them, well, we're in the middle of nowhere. And mind you, like we're driving up this mountain. And, you know, I guess for them, and he did say this, he's like, his brother, he was like, you start to learn like your surroundings and you start to learn, you know, the mountain and all this stuff. Cause I was like, how do you guys know, you know, one tree from the other and one little street and one little thing from the other? Cause they're like, oh yeah, pass the shrub and pass this tree and then make a right. And then you're going to go to the left of the creek. And then, and I'm like, what is happening? I can barely get on the 405 and the 55 without getting lost. Like, what? So we're going up this, you know, the mountain and we're following them. I'm like, God, how does he remember to get here? It's just like these little roads and, you know, just wild. So we get there though. And I was like, okay, there's nobody around here. Like we didn't see a car. We didn't see anything. So I was like, you know, how would they know if you shot a gun to kill the elk versus, you know, your bow? Like, why not just use the easier one? That way you get what you want. But apparently there's a lot of laws and rules, and there are very, like, severe repercussions if you do step out of those. And so it's like, if you did, you know, shoot a gun and, you know, anyone were to find out, I mean, you, like, it's really bad. And by the way, you can't, like, you could get, before, back in the day, you would get the death penalty if you just, like, went up and just shot a cow. I was like, the death penalty? Yeah. It used to be really, but it still is. Like, you would get jail time. Excuse me. You would get jail time right now if you just went up and killed any sort of cattle or anything. So I just, it was all very interesting. Stitch Fix totally gets me. Yes, I have a stylist. She's a fashion expert who shops for me and knows exactly what I like and what I don't, what will fit me, and she sends me basically pieces in my budget and in my price range. She just makes shopping easier. Stitch Fix is the best way to shop new styles and brands. Think of them as your style partner. Your stylist will learn about your taste and collaborate with you on looks that you love without breaking the bank. You simply share your style, your sizes, your budget with a quick style quiz, and Stitch Fix sends you 5 items in a fix right to your door. With your choices in mind and sizes from extra small to 3XL, they'll find your perfect fit. Try everything on at home, keep what you like, and send back the rest. Shipping and returns are always free. They have over 1,000 brands and styles, so no matter what season of life you're in, Stitch Fix has you covered. Simply order a refresh as needed, or set it and forget it with regular fixes. You're in full control. And honestly, you know, when I did this, I was a little hesitant because I was like, okay, are they really going to get my style? Like, are they really going to get my sizing properly? And when I did it, I mean, they ask you such specific questions that I'm telling you, when you get that box, you're like, holy crap. Yes, I have a stylist. Like, I can actually say I have a stylist, and I am obsessed with it. Stitch Fix right now is giving us the best deal. And thanks to them, they just get me, and they're going to get you too. So try today at stitchfix.com/humble, and you're going to get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. Okay, that's stitchfix.com/humble for 25% off. stitchfix.com/humble. So we had some great moments. Piper, I was posting as always, and there's a picture of Piper she's just covered in dirt. And like, I honestly, okay, this is the reality. This stuff isn't for me, really, you know? Like, I'm just not like a let's get down and dirty kind of girl. I'm good. Like, I don't need to do that. Like, and it's fun, and there are awesome moments of like just being one with, you know, nature and having the trees surrounding you, and like all of that is amazing. Like, that part I actually do love. I love the stillness. I love the quiet. I love seeing the stars and being like you can hear the birds and the little things. Fine. Okay. This is where the shit that I can't handle. I can't handle dirt in my shoes all day. I can't handle like not being able to shower my ass or brush my teeth or get good sleep or like, you know, like fundamentals of surviving and being okay. Like if I don't get good sleep just here in California in my little bed, then I do not do well. So all of these other elements were just really, it was pushing me out of my comfort zone. And mind you, I'm a trooper. I don't complain. I go with the flow. I do it. I'll complain on the way home once no one's around. But while I'm there, I fucking take it like a champion. And also seeing Piper being so happy was, you know, it was nice. But like, she also got filthy dirty. Why, you ask? Okay, so where we camped was on dirt. A little bit of grass, things here and there, whatever. But it was mainly dirt. And we also camped on a cemetery. Yes, a cemetery. And while for some is that's so cool, I have a daughter who like is terrified of creepy things, but also so intrigued by it and is probably some sort of like has like a sixth sense of some like spirits and things. You know, I swear she had an exorcism when she was like 2. So yeah, like I think she's more sensitive to the spirits and the other world. And so my dumbass told her that it was a cemetery. I didn't shy away from it because you know why? This is the thing about my parenting skills and my style. Not my skills, sorry. I did not use that term right. It's my style. I am very much a you ask and I will tell you. Unless it's something that's like really, really like she just doesn't need to know that, then I won't. But like for the most part, you know, like I'll change my tampon in front of her because she's in the bathroom and mama has gotta go and she's got shit to do. I'm not going to always shy away. And then she's 14, like, why am I bleeding? You know, like, no, she's going to know. She's going to be around it. She's going to see it. I want her to, I don't baby talk her. And Riley doesn't either. Like we just sort of tell her how it is and we speak to her and treat her, you know, like a mature little human. And so, so when she asked about the cemetery, I told her and I was like, you know, this is a cemetery. And she's like, you know, what does that mean? And I go, that means that, you know, people who died get buried here. And, you know, there was a lot of, well, why do they get buried there? And why did they die? And, you know, there was a grave that, like a stone head that said, I think it was Mina, and it was from 1910 to 1913. She was 3. That part I kept out of the story for my work. Because that she would have lost her shit. She would have been like, am I going to die? Am I sick? Am I going to be buried here? You know, the questions would have just, I just couldn't. So I'm not going to lie. She asked a lot of questions. And then after that, she was kind of sad. Like she would have like her really fun moments. And then all of a sudden she would just like get really sad. I'm like, what's wrong? Like I noticeably sad. And she goes, why they die? Like why they buried here? Why cemetery? Like why cemetery? You know, just all the questions. And I, you know, again, would have to go through it all, talk about it, how we were celebrating their life. Yeah, I don't fucking know. I just was making up things at that point. I'm like, we're celebrating. Like, I don't know. I just had to like, I had to make it positive somehow. And then weirdly, I'll get back to everything else. But then weirdly, like the second day, I think, no, we were packing up to leave on Sunday. And all these people and their little, like, not four wheelers, but like things like that, like really cool little things, side by sides, maybe, I don't know. They drive up, there's like 5 of them. And they're all in like camo and they come out And mind you, we're packing, and then no one acknowledges anyone. And I'm like, is this like a forest thing? Is this like a tap? Like, what is, why isn't anyone saying hi? Or like, hi, why are you here? And so I, you know, being chatty McChatster and Piper, we're like, oh, sorry. I'm just like all over the place now. So it was on the trip. It was Riley, myself, Piper, his dad, his dad's wife, and then Riley's brother, his wife, and his two kids. They also brought 2 horses, a goat, a dog, and I think that was it for the animals. But like, it was like a farm, okay? It was lots going on. So when the people drive up, they see a goat, they see the horse. I mean, they see the horse, they see the dogs or dog and Piper, right? And so we're like, no one is saying anything. Everyone's literally fucking ignoring each other. And so I'm like, hi, you know, like I walk over, I'm like, hi, I don't know. Is this not okay? I don't know. So I walk up and I was like, hi. And Piper, of course, is like, you know, like, oh, I love her. And I was like, Piper, you don't love her. You know, shut up. Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But she was like, oh, I love her. She's like, and the girl was like, oh, she's so sweet. And they were all very lovely, very nice. It's like, oh my God, you have a goat. Oh my God, you have a horse. And they thought it was mine. And I was like, yeah, of course, I'm from here. So they start to walk to the cemetery. And the cemetery is basically surrounded by this, it's a way of, there's logs. There's a term for this because they were talking about it, but there were logs that were basically, stacked a certain way in order for it to become a barrier. And I forgot the term, but they explained what the term was, this type of barrier. They used it a lot back in the day, to make fences and whatnot. So it was like a version of a fence. So they're basically moving the wood pieces to get into the cemetery and go pay their respects. And Piper was very curious, like, why are they in the cemetery? And I was like, see, they're celebrating their life. They're coming to see their family. And there was one that was like fully decked out in like colors and lights. And at night it would like shine and it looked, cause it looked like it was a newer, obviously, like a burial site versus the other ones from like 1900s. But I'm assuming that this is where, you know, these families, I was going to ask them, but I was like, that's probably a little too intrusive, but I was so curious as to like, why here? What happened? What's the story on this whole like 1900s? I mean, can you imagine? I did get a little backstory about why that area. I guess that there was a lot of, there was not a lot of people, obviously. And being able to get to doctors was just, you know, it was like towns and towns away. So when people got sick, normally the children, they didn't survive. And so this was an area that they would just basically drive up to and created this, you know, this cemetery for them. But not a lot of people lived in this little town. But yeah, I'm gonna, now that I'm home and have internet, I want to look up this little town and see if I can find more about it. But anyways, so they came up, they paid their respects, and then they were on their way and they were gone. Again, zero words between anyone else. anyway, so what else did we do? So Piper got filthy dirty because of the dirt, and she was kicking a ball, and so the dirt was just flying everywhere, and then she would touch the ball, and then she would touch her face, and then she would touch everything. I mean, I just, at first, I wanted to die a little bit, and then I was like, you know what? I gotta just, like, let it go, and her immune system's gonna be great, and, like, you know, she's a kid. Let her be a kid. It's gonna be great for her imagination. Yeah, we definitely got sick that she got sick that night. I'm sure it wasn't from the dirt, but just like all the things. She started to sniffle that night. The sleeping arrangements were interesting. There was two trailers. One was his dad's, one was his brother's. His dad had, you know, a little queen bed situation, and then I think his couch turns into like a twin, and then the brother had a queen situation, and then he had two bunkers, one above the other, and then the little kitchenette turned into a bed as well. So plenty of space for all of us. They were very kind, and they let us sleep with Piper in like the bigger sort of, you know, the master suite, call it, which was probably like a queen, but like sort of risen up to, you know, you can't sit up. You're like nice and tight in there. But we all slept there, us three. And then his brother and his wife slept on like the little twin, what's it called? Like the kitchenette. And then the boys, each of the boys had like their own little bunker. Very tight, not comfortable, and not fun. That part I will say, just flat out, not fun. I don't enjoy camping for this reason. None of us slept. Well, we, Briley and I did not sleep. We maybe slept 2 hours the entire trip. Piper was kicking and moaning all night, and then had an accident the first night. So Riley and the boys were going hunting, and they basically leave at like 5 a.m. and they come back around like 9:30, 10 for breakfast and all that. So they left, and as soon as Riley left, Piper and I are like cuddling, sleeping, and then I smell the pee smell. And if you've ever slept with kids or anyone or a drunk person, anyone, when you just smell, get a whiff of piss in the middle of the night, it's disgusting. And it was still dark out. It was freezing. And then all night, both nights, there was a little chipmunk, and it was just like this scratching at the fucking roof of this trailer. And mind you, we are, you know, inches away from the outside. And it was just, it was pretty much, it could have been just scratching my face at this point. Like, it might as well have. And in my eardrum and everything, because it was all night. And like, the brother even got up one night to like go and try to fucking shoo them off. He couldn't. They were relentless little chipmunks. Alvin and the chipmunks just scratching at my ear. So that was happening. It was freezing cold. It was pitch black, and she had pissed. So I had to, just figure out a way to get her at least out of the wet clothes in the dark while everyone's sleeping. And, it was great. And so I had to change her. We had to cuddle up in another little corner where we weren't going to be surrounded by pee, and still smelled like piss. And we barely slept. She slept. I didn't sleep, but she slept a little bit. And so, yeah, like that stuff was very, very difficult. And then after she got super dirty, they luckily had a generator to get some hot water. So we gave her like the fastest rinse ever. But just like quickly rinsed her off, and she was fine. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing was very interesting. Mind you, on top of that, I am over here just trying to figure out, like, you know, am I pregnant? Am I not pregnant? And all of that. So much. But of course, I did take my pregnancy test with me, and I tested while I was out there. So I don't mean to leave you hanging, but I'm going to leave you hanging because I'm going to pick up on this next week when I have so much more information. And yeah, that's all I'm going to leave you with. Sorry, cliffhanger. love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for dealing with my sickness and podcasting from bed. I literally couldn't even get up to grab my machines because my body is aching and I am dying. So, thank you again. Love you all very much. And I will see you next week. And we will, we're going to talk about all of it. So, love you all. Thank you. Remember, stay humble and stay hungry.